Okay, we welcome on to the programme now Paddy Bowner, former Irish goalkeeper, of course, and part of Jack's Lads, I suppose you could say, a team that gave us so much pleasure. Paddy, good morning, and sorry to be speaking to you under these circumstances. When we have people of such a status, such of such influence, you sometimes think they'll never go, don't you? And then we obviously there's inevitability.
Yeah, good morning, Greg. Delighted to talk to you. And listen, the outpouring of emotion over the last couple of days has been quite extraordinary. I'm lucky I'm actually in Donegal at the moment. And I'm listening to it on radio and on TV. And that, but I'm not surprised, because he was such a personality, such a character, and he had such an effect on not just on people like myself who was in his company during that time, but all of the fans and everybody concerned, even though some of them never met Jack, but he just had that personality, hadn't he? That wonderful, wonderful way that he spoke. He fitted into that sort of Irish sidekick with that bonnet on, and just the way that he used that sort of Irishness, even though born and over in England. But I think he just fitted the profile perfectly.
I mean, metaphorically, when he walked into the dressing room, how quickly did his character and his vision and his drive become apparent to you and the rest of the lads?
Well, I think the personality and the character was there. You know, he had that confidence, of course, that, you know, he'd won World Cups and, you know, he was coming in. But he never once brought the World Cup up as a subject to discuss and say, well, I won this and I won that. You know, and you would find maybe other managers doing that, go about it that way whatsoever. It did take a while for some of the players to understand his methods and the way that he wanted us to play. I think after we beat Scotland in Hampden and then beat Brazil when they were on tour, and I think then really everybody realized that there was real merit in the way that he wanted us to play. He was lucky because he had a very good group of players, and I think when you listen to his first interview before he took the job, before he stepped into that dressing room, he realized for a couple of years that Ireland had, you know, a lot of good players, but he never achieved enough. Mm. And that was a big opportunity for him. So I think that in itself, but the personality, go back to the personality, when somebody walks in and they're 6'5", and you could expect Jack, and most people expect Jack to be quite gruff and abrupt, but he wasn't. And he put a lot of fun into it for us. When he spoke, and even within very serious times, when we were maybe going out to play big games, he always had a little funny quip that he would stick in there that made us very, very relaxed. And we all loved him. You know, you listen to the players now in their commentary, and, you know, the likes of Paul McGrath, and I listened to Tony Cascarino yesterday, and Ray Houghton, those kind of guys, and every single one of us loved him with a passion, which is quite unique, because he was an international manager. He wasn't our club manager, he was an international manager, and we went with him all the time. So to have that response after all 30 years is quite incredible.
And obviously you talk about great players, but great players that perhaps were playing a very different style of football at their clubs, and he maybe was asking them to do something quite different at an international level, and there's egos, and there's every in other words, you have to have a great skill set to bring that all together and to actually get the greatness out of great players. That's what a role of a good manager is too.
Yeah, he was a leader and the master of communication. You know, I think he made himself remember to many things. That, listen, I tell all of you three different things, you know, and you go, that's about 30, over 30. I tell you, all of you, only three things is a great chance if you think in the same way. So he made the game simple. But what he did, and if you look at it now, just look at it now and what Liverpool have done and Man City and that high press that everybody talks about these teams can do. We were doing that then, and that was one of Jack's strategies and philosophy that he put into us. He made it work hard. That was an Irish anyway, but he had Ray Houghton and John and Frank and those guys really put teams under pressure, and we at the back then supported that by organising and communicating. And that was the first thing he did. As far as that second set concerned, I know there were doubters with Eamon and Lee and Johnny Giles and we didn't build.
Well, they're professional doubters, if the truth be told. You know, that's they're paid to be controversial. And frankly, we've moved away from that a little bit now, where it's not just being controversial for the entertainment value.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to say is that he had a way, he looked at the opposition and position in Europe, especially, and he said, well, let's look at it a different way and try to get some results based on a strategy. And it worked really well, and put the players into it once we got success.
And also, it's what it does to a country as well, you know, that you can give people belief and hope and even expectation, and then to deliver on some of that as well. I mean, it was just an amazing time to be following the national team as a fan. I'm not sure how aware you can be of that when you are the team that we're all following and have our dreams pinned on. But we've all got memories of those tournaments, places that we were, you know, what we were doing, how we reacted. You know, I mean, it really had a massive influence what you did under Jack at that time, didn't it?
Yeah, you know, to be honest, the reaction of the people, and I think it took a little time. The European Championships was the start of it, then the World Cup, and it just went crazy. I think what Jack did also, he kept the squad and the environment and the hotel very open. You know, I remember people coming from Donegal and coming out of Germany and so on, and coming to the hotel, and you could bring in and have a cup of tea with them and sit down, and even their games, sing. So that's very, very open, even with the media. And I think that was really, really crucial to build that rapport. And you know, the fans loved him. You know, when he travelled around the country, you know, obviously he did a lot of gigs and different things. But people just loved Jack because he very much fitted in with their own psychic. And the way they played the game was very probably unique, but it also suited the people from the GA, from rugby, that high action type of game. All of that suited Jack, and then just the momentum of getting to World Cups. Listen, we got to the European Championships, the first time ever getting to and beating England the first game. That helps. That certainly helps to get people on your side, and then the World Cup qualification, and it really, really was. And it was simpler times then too, you know, and all of that helped. But Jack was the leader of it all. He was the one that created, and he was the one that I think the fans and the players and everybody concerned, the media, even the media liked him, even though he was abrupt to them at times, they liked the straight talking, which I love also in an Irish type of way, that people can tell you and they don't fall out with you. And I've had plenty of conversations with Jack, heated conversations about the way that he wanted me to play at the back and so on, but we never fell out. And the next day it was always a case of get on with the job. Brilliant.
Yeah, and in terms of, I mean, you talk about his presence, you know, his size and the respect and how he could command a room, probably a bit of a man's man, as you say, he could be abrupt at times, but obviously when you're dealing with professional footballers, they are humans as well, and they've got their own issues maybe going on in their lives or whatever. How good was he sort of, you know, to put the arm around someone sort of a thing, you know? Did he have that string to his bow too?
Oh, but that's what made him. That's exactly what made him, that building that relationship with people. And it didn't matter if you were the star player or if you were on the fringe. He would come and talk to you. If you went for a walk, you would see him strolling up beside somebody with a cigarette in his mouth, and he would be just chatting about life, not just about, because he knew, maybe he'd been tipped off by the Charlie O'Leary's or the Mick Burns or maybe somebody else, there's something else is going on in their background. But he would talk to them. And that's what really, really the players appreciated. He had that time for them and spoke to them individually away from the game and away from football. And even when you walked into the hotel, maybe we would meet up on a Saturday or a Sunday, depending on what game was on. We wouldn't start training until Monday, but he would be in the bar, maybe and have a few pints. You'd walk in, and you were comfortable going into his company, and he would have friends around him and so on. But he would always might buy you a pint at that point in time, or we might have to buy him a pint. But it was always a case of just having a very relaxed conversation with him. And I think that's what made him absolutely.
All right. And was his management style better suited to the international game than the club game, do you think?
I think so. I think he enjoyed the time that he had with his family and his friends away from the games during the, you know, in that period in between games, maybe 4, 5, 6 weeks. And he enjoyed that, and that made him more relaxed. I think if you were working with him on a daily basis, it might not have been the same. But although I listened to Graham Souness, who talks very, very highly of him about the way that he almost made him buck up a little bit and get on to become a professional player, and he had him at Middlesbrough. So I didn't have him at club level, so I don't know that, but I just feel that at international level that really, really suited him to have his own time on his own away fishing and really getting on with the business of winning things and that. So I think, yeah, I would say international football was his almost it's the place where he was really, really happy.
And I think he found his niche in that regard, but also in the right place. And I think it was just, and he had the right team. I think there's sort of a lining up of stars, wasn't there, really, for that era, for him, and even for the players, you know, just in the, all the skill in the world, don't get me wrong, I'm not taking away from that, Packy, but just an awful lot of things were right at a certain time. The brilliant players, the right manager, probably in the right country, doing the right job, with the right attitude, and it just, and we all got to go on that journey.
Yeah, you're right, Greg. There's no doubt about it. When you look back at the team and the players he inherited, you know, the great players, the Frank Staples, the, you know, the Irish guys, Ronnie Whelan, Paul McGrath, myself, Dave O'Leary, although, you know, he brought Dave back in after him being out for a while. Just really, Roy, then after that, Roy Keane, Steve Sutton, all of those Irish players that came through that was there for him. But also then he added the likes of Ray Houghton and John Aldridge, Andy Townsend and Cass, those guys. Well, Cass was there before, actually. Owen Handa had picked him. So all of that was right for him. But he recognised that, and I think he said that in his first interview, that he realised that the players were there. All he had to do was come in and blend them together. But then he got a little bit of luck, as we know. You know, guy like Cass scoring that goal, for example, to help us qualify against Bulgaria. You know, and that's the bit of luck. But great managers make luck, don't they, Craig? You know, and all of that going together. But you're right, all the stars came up. You know, the likes of Liam Brady was a brilliant player. And it was unfortunate, actually, that Liam and Mark Lawrence, for example, got injured just at the time we were qualifying for the European Championships. And those were two, imagine losing two players of that ilk, but still being able to go out and perform. Unbelievable. But he had, listen, that was his, and don't underestimate his tactical knowledge also. That's, people keep talking about the long ball game and so on. He looked at the opposition, didn't put the ball at risk, but that whole press, that whole, and lots of good information that he gave us as senior players that we needed just to take on to the pitch.
So, and I'd say it suited going into games with people thinking that we were one trick ponies. Do you know what I mean? That there was no nuances to the tactics. I mean, that probably, it probably suited us.
No, but listen, teams hated playing against us. You know, I remember Jack worked in the World Cup, and I think it was 86 he worked in the World Cup, and he came back after that and he said, you know, really about these centre halves and sweepers, and that was playing. Everybody stepped off them and allowed them to play, and they looked great players. And we're not going to do that, he said. That was the words. We're going to put them under. We'll see how good they are then. So, from that perspective, teams hated, absolutely hated, and we were a big, big team. You can imagine that. You know, I was 6'2", Mick McCarthy 6'2", Paul McGrath 6'2", Neil Quinn 6'4", Kevin Moore 6'1". You know, big, big men, Tony Cascarino, and when you, and Dave Lane, when you line up in the dressing room before you go out and you look at that stature, teams would be frightened. And then put the quality along that. You know, you got to remember that Liverpool lads were winning European Cups at that particular time. You know, we had Ronnie and Ray and Mark Lawrence and John Aldridge. All of those guys were winning things, championships and so on. And, you know, you had the Man United crew, and then you had Dave and Niall at Arsenal, and we were up in Scotland, myself, Mick and Chris Moore later on, and we were winning, you know, championships up there and playing in Europe. So we were good players, but the way we played the game, just teams just couldn't handle us.
Yeah, I'm thinking when you mention all that height, I think Ray Hutt was barely 5.5 feet, wasn't he?
Yeah, but he was a terrier.
I know, but when I can just see us all walking into the hotel bar, it must have looked like his security.
but you know, I compare it now. I look at some of the teams now without the stature and their little boys. You know, honestly, you know, when you look at that group of players, if you took out a great Donegal team or a Kerry team or a Dublin team and put them up against us, we could match them. So we were physical specimens, you know.
Intimidating,
Jack loved that.
Too, yeah.
Jack loved that.
Finally, Packy, what would your... I mean, obviously, there are memories that we all have and you're right smack bang in the middle of them. But I suppose on your own personal level, reflecting on your career with Jack being... Because your career is far beyond the years that we're talking. But what would be your greatest memory, either on or off the pitch, of you and Jack, or you, Jack, and the team?
There's so many, you know, and being around somebody for 10 years, you have, and going through different tournaments, you have lots and lots of great memories. I think it was more about the personality of Jack. I love listening to him talking about fishing and so on, maybe from where I came from, and being that personality. I remember going into the hotel one day up in Dublin, and he said to me, "Oh," he says, "I was down in Glencombe, Kill, they call it, down there, and I went round a factory down there," and he said to me, and he said, "They promised me a tweed jacket for going round the factory, and I haven't got it. He says, "Your job in the next 3 months is to go down there and get that tweed jacket for me." You know, yeah. And to be honest, I was laughing at him, you know, because I knew the kind of character he was. But he was saying it in jest, but he knew.
Did you get it, Packy? That's the question.
No, I don't know if he got it. I didn't go
off. Did you get it? No, you didn't.
No. Right. But he was talking about Donegal and the light that he was down there. He was letting me know that he was in my hometown or in that area, and he loved it, but he was then. You know, pushing the other angle, you know. But those are the things that made him, you know, coming back from games and maybe stopping at Hill 16 with a group of players and going in and having a pint and celebrating beating Russia. You know, those are the memories I have, much more than the football memories, because that's what I kind of think that made him more a personality that I could relate to. And link in with.
And that's, I'm delighted that you know, because we think of people as a manager, you know, and people like yourself and Paul McGrath and others, it's a personal loss. It's not the loss of someone that you worked with and went through a great era with and brought so much happiness, and I'm sure there was tough times too. It's actually it's that personal relationship, you know, and there's very... He's lucky in a way that what a legacy... to leave behind, you know, it's an amazing achievement. Long life, has a lovely family, grandchildren. You know, in a way, there's a lot to be thankful for, really, is where I'm coming from, Packy.
Yeah, and I do hope that we get the opportunity to mark it maybe in a different way. I don't know what the funeral arrangements are, but I'm sure with the social distancing, that's going to be a step too far. But I would hope that FAI, and even in Dublin, we may have a bit of a memorial for him and allow the people to pay homage in that way to him and get all the... And eventually, when the time is right, and that. Because we need to mark him, because he had such an impact. And you know, you could hear over the last 2 days, you know, people, my Twitter page has gone mad, and you know, people just reflecting on their times that they had, you know, 10 years, well, let's call it about 4 or 5 of real blitz, you know, you know, people, families coming together, enjoying it, and that, and Jack was the man who made that happen for all of us, and, you know, he was brilliant for me. You know, I'm a young man from Donegal with a way to play in Scotland, and the dream was to play for Ireland. But to get to 2 World Cups and the European Championships under Jack and perform, I owe him so much. And condolences to Pat. Pat was brilliant from his wife. 62 years they were together. She turned up at all the games, and she was there, and she was just a rock of sense around them, you know. Loved having his friend and family there too. I remember coming back, Greg, on buses, and the buses were packed with people, families, friends of Jack, and the sing song would be going, and we'd won the game, and it was absolutely fantastic. You know, and we were the performers, had to go out in the pitch to make that happen, of course, but it's the way that environment was created under Jack. And, you know, nowadays, security, everything, that's not possible. I understand that, but Jack just created something special for all of us.
Yep. Okay, and every time you just go off air, someone rings me up to say that I never mentioned that you started with KD Rovers, so I'm going to preempt that this time.
Yeah,
yeah. The start of the glory years. Very, very finally, do you know the Put Him Under Pressure song and all that kind of stuff? Did he love that? Did he not pay any attention to it? Did he take the hand out of it, you know, in the dressing room?
No, he loved it.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he loved it. He loved it. He used to, we had sing songs, you know, Jack was a brilliant singer, but he had this epi move, but Tata, there was a kind of a Yorkshire thing, and he used to, and there was about 30 verses in that, you know, and he used to get up and do it, and he wouldn't do it all the time, but maybe every so often, Jack a song, and he would stand up and he would do this epi move. It was more a poetry type song, but it went on for ages and ages and ages, but he loved all that. He loved that sort of kind of coming together as a community and people singing and he encouraged it actually, and it was brilliant. And he loved that kind of the songs and that. But look, Jack walked around Ireland; he was a god, and people. He loved children too. I've got some lovely photographs of the World Cup in '94 where my son was out there with all Kevin Moran's kids and so on. They were all around, and great pictures of Jack with them. Standing, playing with them, and photographs. It was wonderful, actually.
Ah, lovely stuff. Lovely memories of a great man. Paddy, thanks so much for letting us in and sharing those with you.
Pleasure.
It's been really enjoyable. Thanks so much. Okay, that's Paddy Bowner there, paying tribute to his former manager and friend, of course, and someone he looked up to greatly, which I think many of us did indeed. That's Paddy Bowner playing tribute to the late, great... Jack Charlton. Text.